We turn now to the question of the penalty for abortion, which is currently the practice of the Church, and as we've already seen in our historical discussion, represents the culmination of a number of attempts to legislate in regard to this terrible phenomenon. The excommunication due to abortion is described in canon law as laete sententiae, which means it is automatic in the sense that it does not need to be pronounced officially by the bishop. He does not need to make a specific statement. There does not need to be any sort of ceremony as the one in the medieval illumination, which I've had at the top of this webpage, the medieval illumination of Pope Hildebrand or Gregory VII excommunicating King Henry IV. And many of us remember the wonderful film Becket and the rather dramatic scene of the excommunication of a later King Henry of England's nobles by the Archbishop Becket. This does not have to happen in order for one to incur the excommunication due to abortion. It happens in virtue of the act itself. However, what is not understood by the Catholic laity is really twofold, and the one is that not everyone who commits an abortion or who procures, to use the technical term for it, an abortion, necessarily incurs this otherwise automatic excommunication. And number two, the excommunication, the faculties to absolve from it or remit this penalty can be, and in most dioceses of the United States and in many dioceses of Europe, is delegated by the local bishop to his clergy. So the laete sententiae excommunication represents effectively the categorization of abortion as a reserved sin, a sin reserved to the bishop, insofar as this excommunication in itself normally cannot be lifted or absolved except by episcopal authority. And if you look at the first paragraph, I've quoted Canon 1398, those who procure an abortion, and that's not just the person who has the abortion, but the people who arrange it or encourage it or make it possible, and of course those who perform it themselves. But let's look now at the various aspects of this in order to better understand what this means for the Catholic laity and what it means for those who are guilty of this ecclesiastical crime. I've given the relevant portions of the 1983 Code of Canon Law, and this is from Book 6, the section on sanctions, and it's specifically the question of the subject, that is, the person who is liable to penal sanctions. In Canon 1321, no one is punished unless the external violation of a law or precept committed by the person is gravely imputable, that is, the person can be understood as profoundly, deeply, freely, and with knowledge responsible for having performed this act by reason of malice, wrongdoing, or negligence. And that would not be accidental negligence, but willful negligence. So there are exceptions stated in the very beginning that the punishment is not effective unless the act itself is gravely imputable in virtue of malice or negligence. And we'll see how this is explicated and applied as we go along. Particularly if dropped down to Canon 1323, there is a list of those who are not subject to the penalty when they have violated a law or a precept, which is another way of saying that people in the following category are not excommunicated even though they may have had or arranged for or performed an abortion. Number one, a person who is not yet 16. That's the universal law of the Church. In some countries, that's been shifted a bit to 18. And number two, a person who without negligence was ignorant that he or she violated a law or a precept. This is to say that they were not responsible for this ignorance. It was not deliberate ignorance. But if a person does not know that the penalty of excommunication is attached to the crime of abortion, then they do not incur the excommunication. So ignorance means the person does not incur the penalty. Number three, a person who acted due to physical force or a chance occurrence that the person couldn't foresee, or if it could be foreseen, avoid. Physical force could be someone literally compelling another, such as a partner or a marriage partner compelling them to do this. And it doesn't have to be physical force. And number four, a person who acts coerced by grave fear. If they are profoundly and seriously concerned for their lives or for their safety. And then it goes on to say, even if only relatively grave or due to necessity or grave inconvenience, that is, they're afraid that they will be subjected to some sort of horrific inconvenience unless the act is intrinsically evil or tends to the harm of souls. Now, the act of abortion is intrinsically evil, but as we'll see in Canon 1324, there is an application or extension of this that could even apply to abortion. Number five, a person who acts with due moderation against an unjust aggressor for the sake of legitimate self-defense. Well, as we've seen, a developing child, a fetus, cannot be described or understood or defined as an unjust aggressor. Number six, a person who lacked the use of reason. That is to say, someone who would habitually lack the use of reason, they were of sufficiently low intelligence, or they had some sort of mental defect, or they lacked the use of reason because some external circumstance had deprived them of the use of their reason, such as being on drugs or being secular law would be described as temporarily insane for one reason or another. And there are canons that carry this out a little further. And then, number seven, a person without negligence believed that one of the circumstances mentioned in numbers 4 or 5 was present. So a person who, even though they weren't under grave compulsion, thought they were, believed themselves to be, or believed that they were acting against an unjust aggressor. So if we drop down then to number 1324, this is an extension of the canon and its application in a slightly modified form. That is, the individual, according to 1324, is not exempt from the penalty, but the penalty must be tempered or a penance employed in its place. That is to say, the formal excommunication would not apply. A lesser penalty would have to be imposed if the following conditions were met. And remember, this applies to all serious delicts. This is not just a series of canons about abortion. It's about all of those individuals who are subject to penal sanctions in the church. And so now if we look at the categories in number 1324, number one, a person who had only the imperfect use of reason. So it's not that they lacked the use of reason, as number six of the previous canon. They had only partial use of reason. That is, their ability to reason was impaired in some way. And in number two, extended further, a person who lacked the use of reason because of drunkenness or another similar culpable disturbance of mind, being on drugs, for example. Or number three, from the grave heat of passion, which didn't precede and hinder all deliberation of mind and consent of will, and provided that the passion itself had not been deliberately stimulated or fostered voluntarily. So a person who is acting out of a sort of an uncontrollable frenzy or a deep emotional state is maybe guilty of the crime, but is not to be subjected to the full force of the penalty. And again, a minor is specifically mentioned, someone who's under 16, or a person who was coerced by grave fear, even if only relatively grave, or due to necessity or grave inconvenience if it's intrinsically evil. And again, abortion is an intrinsically evil action, so this number would apply. And remember, this is in the category of people who have incurred the penalty, but the penalty must be lessened in this case because they were coerced by grave fear. Who would determine that the penalty is lessened? Well, since the bishop is not invoked, it's a late sententiae, that is an automatic excommunication, the person who would have to determine this would be their confessor. The person to whom they go in the sacrament of reconciliation would have to be aware of these facts and determine to what extent they need to apply. And here again, in number nine, there is specific mention of the individual who does not know that the penalty of excommunication or any other serious penalty is attached to the precept that's being considered here. And the last part of this canon, number 3, in the circumstances mentioned in number 1, which is to say all of those numbers 1 through 10, the accused is not bound by a late sententiae penalty. So although they've technically incurred it, they have in fact incurred it, they are not bound by it, and the normal circumstances that would apply to that do not apply, which is simply a way of saying that in any of these circumstances, even in a diocese where the faculty to absolve from the excommunication due to abortion has not been formally delegated to priests, in these circumstances, in any one of these circumstances we've just mentioned, a priest may regard the individual as not bound by the late sententiae excommunication and can absolve them because of these associated circumstances. As we will see in many, that is to say in most dioceses of the United States, this faculty to absolve is formally granted to all priests, although there are dioceses in the United States where abortion is still a reserved sin, where the bishop does not delegate it, and another process would have to be gone through. But let's drop down here to Title 6 on the cessation of penalties in number 1357. Even though one might be in a diocese where that faculty had not been granted to priests, note that a confessor can remit in the internal sacramental forum, that is to say, in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, an undeclared late sententiae, automatic excommunication, or interdict, and we won't worry about what an interdict is, if it is burdensome for the penitent to remain in the state of sin, grave sin, during the time necessary for the competent superior to make provision. And it would depend on the diocese what one has to do if the faculty has not been delegated. Often you have to contact the chancery, and there's some formal paperwork that has to be filled out, which means that there would be some time that would elapse between the time that a person saw their confessor, spoke to them about this, and the confessor would be able to let them know that they'd received formal permission to absolve them from the excommunication. Notice that this canon is saying that if it is burdensome for the penitent to remain in the state of sin, the priest can grant them absolution. Now, it's kind of a conditional absolution, because notice that in number 2, the person has to make recourse within a month to the competent superior or a priest endowed with the faculty, or in normal circumstances, they'd have to check back with the priest to make sure that he had done what he had to do in order to be able to fulfill the requirements of this canon. Now, ordinarily, and we're dropping now into number 2, which has a big blue background and the picture of Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal. Normally, the faculty to absolve from the excommunication due to abortion is delegated to priests. And I've given you two examples here, one rather long and the other very brief, of the papers that a priest receives once he's been ordained. These represent the faculties that he has, and this would be typical of most, but not all, dioceses in the United States. And here in this particular document for this diocese, which I shall not name, in number 6.2, there is for all priests of the diocese who have faculties the following statement: you may remit in the internal forum any automatic late sententiae penalty of excommunication established by law, provided that it's not been formally declared in the external forum and it's not a penalty reserved to the Apostolic See. That is, there are some sins that are reserved to the Pope alone. In exercising this faculty, it is not necessary to add anything to the formula of absolution. It suffices that the confessor intend to remit the censure along with the sins. So that means that if a person in a diocese where this faculty has been granted to all priests mentions in the course of a confession that they are guilty of the sin of abortion, the priest can absolve them using the ordinary formula for absolution without adding anything to it. The ordinary formula suffices for the remission of the censure of excommunication. And this is not some sort of an unusual sort of thing. It is, in fact, the way such censures are lifted when that faculty has been delegated. And notice in the text that I've highlighted in yellow, if this should come up in a context other than confession, there is a special formula specifically for the remission of an excommunication. And the confessors are being reminded of that here. And if you drop down to item D in this same section, this diocese has particularly emphasized, note well that by this faculty you may remit the excommunication attached to the procurement of abortion. Now, example 2 is a simpler form from another diocese, which has exactly the same effect. The faculty is granted to priests to remit in the internal or external forum, that is to say in confession, or in the context of pastoral counseling, a late sententiae, a penalty established by law but not yet declared, and exactly as we saw above, as long as this isn't one that's reserved to the Pope, to the Apostolic See. And it can only be exercised within the confines of this particular diocese and on behalf of someone, but it can be offered to anybody regardless of their residence and regardless of where the penalty was incurred. And there, too, they have a special note to remind confessors that this particularly applies to abortion, because that is the most common late sententiae excommunication that confessors encounter. And finally, in section 2.2, we switch now from the Code of Canon Law and its application in particular places to a document that was published in 1997 by the Pontifical Council for the Family. It is a Vade Mecum, which is to say a handbook, sort of an accompanying guide for confessors concerning some aspects of the morality of the conjugal life. There are sections, as we'll see later in this course, concerned with issues of fertility and contraception. And there are a couple of points that I wanted to highlight, and this is intended to inform confessors on the question of how they should behave in the context of the confessional. And in number 18, it states, in order to render the moral directives concerning responsible procreation concretely applicable, it's necessary the precious work of confessors be completed by catechesis. So confessors are not just to absolve, but to explain the teaching of the Church. The illumination of consciences with regard to the sin of abortion forms an integral part of this task. So Rome is advising confessors that they should not simply pass this over as if it were the same kind of sin as, say, missing Mass on a Sunday or an obligatory feast, but should actually discuss the matter and enlighten the person's conscience in this area. But notice in 19, regarding absolution for the sin of abortion, the obligation always exists to have regard for canonical forms, and then if repentance is sincere, and if it's difficult to send the penitent to the competent authority to whom the absolution of the censure is reserved, every confessor can absolve according to Canon 1357, which is exactly the canon that we were particularly looking at. Every confessor can absolve according to this canon, suggesting an adequate penitential act and indicating the necessity to have recourse, possibly offering to draft and forward it himself. So the confessor would take on responsibility for filling out whatever paperwork or contacting the chancery that was required. And remember, this document is for the universal church. The two examples that I showed you were from American dioceses, but this particular document was intended for confessors throughout the world. And the point of our reflecting on these points of canon law is that the question of this excommunication is often very much misunderstood by the Catholic faithful, either in regard to the question of how it's incurred. People presume that it's always incurred, which, as we've seen, is not always the case. And number two, imagining that somehow this means that it's very difficult or cumbersome or even impossible for the person to be reconciled to the Church. The Church intends two things, as we've seen. Number one, to highlight for the faithful that abortion is a very serious sin. But number two, to have concern for the reconciliation of sinners. So as we see, the process of reconciliation is one that can be dealt with by any well-informed parish priest.